This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. About a month ago, we were thrilled to get confirmation that Carol Burnett would join us. She spent the past 2 years touring theaters across the country with a show called Laughter and Reflection, A Conversation with Carol, where the audience asks her questions about her great TV show, her regulars and guests, her movies and specials. So today, it's your turn to ask the questions. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. We'll get to Libya later in the program. We will speak with law professor Stephen Carter about his book. He was there with us before to talk about The Violence of Peace, America's War in the Ages of Obama. We've asked him back to talk about Libya and just war. But first, Carol Burnett joins us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Her latest book is called This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection. It's now out in paperback. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry that we have to begin with sad news, but condolences on the loss of your friend Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes. Thank you very much. I really adored her. We worked together many years ago. We did an HBO movie called Between Friends, and we really did become friends. She was a hoot to work with. She was so funny and bright and with it. And I really miss her. She was a doll. She was. Let me put it this way. She was a great dame in the best sense of the word.
You tell a story about her in your book when you were appearing on your favorite soap opera.
Yeah. Yes, well, we had done this movie together, and I hadn't seen her because we'd been apart, and I was in New York, and I was doing a guest shot as a character on my soap opera that I watch all the time, All My Children, and I was playing this woman named Verla Grubbs, and she dressed very outlandishly and so forth. And I had a scene with the late, great Eileen Hurley where we were in a nightclub and we were having a drink and or a restaurant kind of nightclub. And we were having a drink doing this scene. And
I think we have this clip of tape.
Oh, no, really?
I think so. Let's hear it.
Oh.
You're Vera? Verla Grubbs. I knew your
That's right. My goodness, well, nice to see you again.
Lovely to see you. Oh, I see my table's ready now.
Who was that? I never saw before in my life. I think that woman's pilot light is out.
I was surprised. She came on mopping the floor in the scrubwoman outfit that I always wore on my show.
The charwoman, yeah.
Yeah, the charwoman. And she had on a mop cap, and it was kind of pulled down over her eyes and everything. And it hadn't been rehearsed. I didn't know what was going on. And then I saw her. And so it was hard for me to keep it together. And they hid her in the dressing room that whole morning while we were rehearsing and everything else, and sneaked her in, you know. And I was so happy to see her, and we giggled a lot after that.
She was such a star. You don't think of her, pulling a prank like that.
Oh, sure. Oh, no, she was. She pulled a lot of pranks when we worked together. We did it. We pulled a lot on each other. And she was just a delightful human being. And I was really pretty upset this morning when I heard the news.
Elizabeth Taylor dead at the age of 79. But we're talking with the great Carol Burnett. Her new book is This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection. This is your chance to ask her questions about her career, her TV show, and many of the people that she, had on the program and starred with in many different venues. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Troy, and Troy's with us from Iowa City.
Hi, Troy.
Carol, for the longest time you've been not giving us or wondering, I'm wondering who gave you the money to move to, I think, New York to start your career.
Well,
when will it be time for you to share us with that?
I will never reveal his name because that was one of the stipulations when he lent me the money. He said, I'm going to lend you this money to go to New York on, which was $1,000. If you are able to, I want you to pay me back within 5 years. You are never to reveal my name. And if you are successful, you will help others out the way I've helped you.
But by chance, was he famous or?
No, he was not famous. He was a very wealthy businessman. Okay. And I met him and his wife at a function where I was a student at UCLA, and our professor asked us in the music department, asked us to come down and do our little scenes for this party. And he would grade us while we were performing in front of this black tie affair in San Diego. And after we performed, this gentleman and his wife came up and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, we really enjoyed you and what do you want to do with your life and so forth. And I told him I wanted to go to New York. And he said, well, why aren't you there now? And I kind of looked at him, you know, I said, well, I just don't have the money or anything yet. He said, well, I'll lend you the money. And I really thought he'd had a little too much champagne, you know. And his wife said, no, he means it. He means it. So evidently, he had helped other people out. I think he helped somebody start a restaurant. And another person wanted to have a gas station or something like that. And what he saw was if they had the fire in the belly and the desire and, you know, whatever to do this, he would give them a leg up by lending them money to get them started.
And it was a tremendous struggle for you when you got to New York at the staying at the rehearsal club, the set for Stage Door. And but you eventually landed a part in Once Upon a Mattress. You achieved your ambition of starring in a George Abbott musical and paid him back 5 years to the day.
I paid the gentleman back 5 years to the day and by certified mail. I want to make sure he got it. And during that 5 years, I had been on Ed Sullivan's show and different shows, and I would always write him and his wife to let them know that I was doing these things, and I never heard from them back at all. But then when I had my own show in the 70s, she called me in my office, and she said, we're just so happy for you and all the years and everything, you know, that you've accomplished. And we'd love to take you to lunch. And would you and your husband drive down to San Diego and we'll go to the yacht club or whatever for lunch? And so I couldn't wait. And we went down. We had lunch. He was very quiet. She was more of a chatty Cathy and lovely. And on the way back out of after lunch, we were walking back to the car and she took hold of my arm and she said, you know, we have at times in the past few years, whenever you've been on television or if your name for some reason or other came up in conversation, we never said anything and that he would just kind of smile and nod and that would be it. They would exchange looks, but they never told anybody what he had done for me.
Troy, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Troy.
Troy, I'm sorry, Troy. I want to give somebody else a chance, okay?
Okay, I was just wondering if she was going
give someone else a chance. So thanks very much. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Jerry. Jerry Withers from Cookeville in Tennessee.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Miss Carol. I used to live in Southern California for years, and my mom went to one of your shows with one of her cousins at one time. And Mom still talks about what a kind lady you are. And thank you for all the millions of people that you've made laugh around the world.
Oh, and, Jerry, thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. And I was always wondering how you guys came up with the idea to do Mama's Family with Eunice and and the whole group. That was, to me, I still roar if I see those advertisements.
Well, in fact, that was one of my favorite things that we ever did. And it was a creation of our comedy writers, a team, Dick Clare and Jenna McMahon. And they came up with this idea of this family. And when I read it, that we got the script on a Monday, and I read it, but I automatically went into this kind of Southern kind of talk, you know, where she'd talk like this. And then Vicky picked up on it as Mama and Harvey. So when we had our run-through on Wednesday, everybody was surprised at how we were playing this. And Dick and Jenna, they were both from Chicago. And so they were really surprised to hear this whole southern, southwestern thing come out. But they liked it. They liked the whole idea of it. And so it stuck. And I loved doing Eunice and the family, because if you read it on the paper, on the script, you're reading it, there wasn't a joke in there. It was all character that made it funny, and it was the way we played it that made it funny.
Why was, you are, I don't think I'm giving anything away here, older than Vicki Lawrence. How come she ended up as Mama?
Well, originally, I was going to play Mama, and we were going to, and Vicki wasn't going to play Eunice, but then I gravitated towards the character of Eunice, the frustration and, you know, all of this. And we were going to hire an older actress to play Mama, because we didn't know it would become a running thing, you know, that what it would develop into is that we would keep revisiting the family. And so Bob Mackey, who was our costume designer, said, well, why don't we just put a big pad on Vicki and a gray wig and glasses, take her makeup off, and let her be Mama for this one time. Well, she was just brilliant and couldn't have been better. And so that's the way it happened. It was just kind of a happy accident.
Well, I just want to thank you again, Miss Carol, for all the laughter you've given to everybody around the world. And
that's God really sweet you. Of you. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. We're talking with, of course, Carol Burnett. Her new book is This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection. It's now out in paperback. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking with Carol Burnett. The Carol Burnett Show aired for more than a decade, won 24 Emmy Awards. One of the highlights for the studio audience was always her Q&A session. She's brought back that formula in recent years, touring the country with a show called Laughter and Reflection, A Conversation with Carol. That's where the audience asks her questions about her regulars and guests, her movies and specials. Today, it's your turn to ask the questions. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website as well. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Carol Burnett's best-selling book, This Time Together, is now out in paper. We've posted an excerpt at our website. You can also see a clip of Carol Burnett performing alongside Elizabeth Taylor in that episode of All My Children that we aired earlier. There's a link to that at npr.org. Again, just click on Talk of the Nation. One thing about the Carol Burnett Show was that a lot of the laughs came not from the laugh lines of Carol Burnett, but from her featured players. This is a famous example. Tim Conway plays a dentist fresh out of school, and Harvey Korman plays his hapless first patient.
Hold on a minute. Let's see how this works here. Okay, Novocaine. Here we are, Novocaine. Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle. Right. There'll be a little bit of pain, and then numbness will set in.
And Carol Burnett, we picked that clip because there's a picture of from that skit in your book, and
right,
you could
yeah.
see Harvey Korman cannot help himself bursting
poor
out.
Poor Harvey. Poor. He was helpless. He was in that dental chair. And the thing was that Tim would get on a roll, right? And he would do things that they didn't do in rehearsal. And this was one of the things. He kept shooting himself with the Novocaine until finally he couldn't walk, or he couldn't use his hands, or he couldn't, you know. And Harvey, I don't know, we laughed so hard. I was screaming with laughter. I was in my dressing room watching it. The crew, the cameraman, I'm surprised the cameras didn't shake. You know, and poor Harvey, we kept saying, oh, he should have invested in Depends. It was just no way out. But it's a classic. I think it's in some dental schools now.
Let's see if we get another caller in. This is Ruth. Ruth was with us from Baton Rouge.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Ruth.
I've been listening to this, helpless with laughter myself, remembering that scene. I just wanted to let you know that I had a roommate in college for 4 years that had your laugh.
We wondered where it went those four years. Yes.
But one of my favorite scenes from your show is when you had Robin Williams on, and he was trying to coach a grieving widow and how to grieve properly.
Yes.
The guy who died in a hilarious way, like headfirst into a can of beans or something. And, I mean, nobody could keep a straight face. It was priceless. I love
Well, Robin is, he's, you know, there are people that are tens. He's about a 12 when it comes to comedy. He's amazing. And, again, I didn't know what he was going to do. We did it twice. And the second time, he said, can I just go off, you know, and so I didn't, and so he changed a lot of it on me, which
I had heard that there was a kind of tradition among the ensemble to deliberately break each other up. Was that true?
No. No.
Oh, really?
We never deliberately, Harvey prided himself on being the consummate actor, and so it was Tim's goal in life to get him, you know, to drive him crazy. So we would rehearse in a certain way, and we would do the first show. We did two shows on Friday. One was a dress rehearsal in front of an audience, and the second show was the air show in front of a different audience. So Tim would always go to our director after the dress rehearsal, because he would do the dress rehearsal skits as if as they had been rehearsed. And he would check with our director that he got all the shots, because we would tape that particular show also as a backup. And then he'd say, okay, now go do what you're going to do. And that's when Tim would go off the script. And we would try to keep straight faces. None of us ever, ever deliberately broke up. But I dare anybody to keep a straight face when Conway got on a roll.
Well, like he did with the hair-lipped elephant.
Oh, God. Yes. I thought I was going to die. And Vicky was so funny. I mean, Vicky she was pretty good about keeping a straight face. And Lyle was pretty good. But Harvey was a patsy. And I was okay, but not as good as Vicky and Lyle at keeping it together.
Ruth, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your humor.
Thanks, Ruth.
Here's an email from Peggy in Valentine, Nebraska. My mother scolded me regularly for practicing my Tarzan yell inside the house. She refused the argument when I told her I'd never get as famous as Carol Burnett without a decent Tarzan yell.
Oh, that's adorable.
And this this from Kevin. Can Carol still do the Tarzan yell?
Oh, you want it, huh?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay, I'm going to back up from the microphone here.
Stand by, engineers.
Okay, I haven't done this in a while, so it might be a little rusty, but here we go. Well, I thought I was better than that.
Tarzan with a cold.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for that. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. Let's go to Charles. Charles with us from San Francisco.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, Charles.
Hi, marvelous to speak with you. And thank you for your fantastic comedy. I first saw you when I was a little kid on television, and I thought you were the best thing since roasted marshmallows.
Thank you.
And I want to find out, when was the first time you were on TV as a solo comedian? And my second question is, I remember Tim Conway from that old show F Troop many years ago.
It was McHale's Navy.
McHale's Navy. Yeah.
Oh, McHale, I'm sorry, McHale's
Navy. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how did he come to be on the show?
Well, when I was on the first starting on television in the Gary Moore show back in the day, Tim was a guest on Gary's show, which was a wonderful musical comedy variety show that I kind of patterned my show after years later. And Tim was a guest, and he was so funny and delightful to be around. So when we got our show, we booked him as a guest quite often. And he, in fact, he became what we would call a semi-regular. We had him on maybe at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. And this shows you how stupid we were. We finally, in the ninth year, we went, why don't we have him on every week? Duh. So that's, everybody thinks he was one of the regular performances from the beginning. But at least we had him every week the last 2 years of the show. And he's just, I don't know if it's possible, but he's nicer than he is funny.
And your first experience as a solo comedian on TV, I seem to remember it being on The Tonight Show or something like that.
Yes, I was on. It wasn't the first time, but I was on The Jack Parr Show, where I did a comedy musical number written by Kenny Welch called I Made a Fool of Myself Over John Foster Dulles.
Oh, I remember that.
He was in the Secretary of State. And it got a lot of laughs. It was a girl who was singing about her love for this very uptight kind of dour guy.
Just in recent terms, made Warren Christopher look like, I don't know, but, Brad Pitt.
Like Brad Pitt, right. And it was about, it was around the Elvis Presley craze. So here I am, this young girl, going crazy over John Foster Dulles. And it was a big hit. So then I went back on the Parr Show. I did that on a Tuesday night, went back on a Thursday night, and then Ed Sullivan had me on Sunday night.
Wow.
So I did the song three nights in 1 week. And so I remember Mr. Dulles was on Meet the Press the following Sunday. And, it was all very serious about the news and everything they were talking. And finally, they were finishing up the hour. And somebody said, what is this, what's going on between you and this young girl who sings that song about you? And I was watching this, it was live, and he got a twinkle in his eye, and he said, I make it a policy never to discuss matters of the heart in public. Well, I just thought that was, it really showed me he had a great sense of humor. I never met him, but I thought that was so sweet.
Charles, thanks very much.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Britta. Britta with us from Rock Springs in Wyoming.
Hi there.
Hi, Carol. Hey, I grew up watching Annie. So my first experience with you was as Miss Hannigan.
Yo, dear.
And I'm sure if I had run into you on the street back then, I probably would have run the other way. I think you would have mopped the floor or something, served me some gruel. Anyway, so I'm wondering, did you have to reassure children for a few years after that when they'd meet you that, no, you weren't an orphanage lady?
Well, some of the little girls who watched, they weren't afraid. They were just kind of fascinated with the character, because I hope I was kind of funny with it, too, And at the end, they changed it and they redeemed her in the movie, so she wasn't all bad. But then there were some where, if they're really little, like 5 years old or something, and the mother will bring them up, this is Miss Hannigan, and the poor little kid, and I said, I love little girls. I love little boys. I love little children. I was just playing make-believe. Do you ever play make-believe when you're young? Do you ever pretend and so forth? And then they're okay, I love doing that role. It was fun.
Thanks, Britta.
Can you do the leaping lizards?
Yes.
Thanks, Britta.
Okay.
Bye. Let's see. We go next to Zahava. Zahava with us from Beverly, Massachusetts.
Hey, Zahava.
Hi, I'm Zahava. I'm 10 years old, and I'm playing Annie.
You're playing Annie?
Yes.
Wow, in school?
No, with Neverland Theater.
Oh, great. Who do you play? Do you play Annie herself?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's great.
And really, you've just given me so much influence throughout my life that I was wondering if you had any advice for me.
Well, I would say just, what do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to be an actress.
Oh, you want to be an actress. Well, you're doing the right thing. you know, you're being in shows, and, you know, when you get older and there's school plays and music and things like that, just try out for them and get as much experience as you can when you're on stage. And that really helps.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Break a leg, Zahava.
Thank you.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
We're talking with Carol Burnett. This time together, Laughter and Reflection is out in paperback. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And
okay.
Go to, this is Linda. Linda with us in Princeton.
Yes.
Hi, Linda.
Oh, hello, Miss Burnett. I wanted to thank you for your fine performance in Friendly Fire.
Oh, thank you.
And I think it made a great impression on me, because having seen you strictly in comedies, your performance in that role was especially touching. And I wondered what motivated you to take the role, and what was the nature of the response that you received to it from people around Hollywood?
Well, what happened was I had done my final show. And at the end of the show, I said goodbye to the audience, and I teared up a bit and, you know, gave a speech about what the 11 years had meant to all of us. And the next thing I know, the phone is ringing, and it's from the producers of Friendly Fire. And they sent the script over to me, and I thought, my gosh, you know, and I'm reading, and then I looked at the front of it, and I thought, and my name was on the envelope. I thought they'd made a mistake, you know. And then I thought, well, you know, why not? Why not try it? I think I can do it. You know, over in England, in Britain, they don't typecast their actors. They can do, I mean, Glenda Jackson and Maggie Smith and those ladies, they can do musicals, they can do comedy, they can do high drama, they can do Shakespeare and all, and they're not pigeonholed as performers usually are here in the States. So I thought, well, you know, nothing ventured. I always kind of like to take a risk, and I really enjoyed doing it. I can't say I had fun because of the subject matter, but the cast was wonderful. Ned Beatty, and they were all terrific, and people responded very positively about it.
Well, and I thank you for it,
Linda. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Linda.
Here's an email from Nathan in Loveland, Ohio. From my understanding, Ms. Burnett and Lucille Ball were close friends in later life, with Lucy appearing on The Carol Burnett Show. Lucy seemed almost like more of a mentor-type figure for Carol. Could you please elaborate on the influence Lucille Ball may have had on your life and career?
Oh, well, she and I became joined at the hip at one point. She was, she came to see me the second night of Once Upon a Mattress. I remember peeking out the curtain and looking, you know, we had just opened the night before to very good reviews and everything. And there in the second row was this carrot top that I saw. And I thought, oh my God, it's Lucille Ball. I don't know if I can get through this evening. I was more frightened the second night, because she was in the audience and I was opening night with all the critics, which was pretty scary. But she came backstage afterwards and she called me kid. And she said, you're really good, kid. And she was going to sit on the couch, and there was this old, it was this old couch in my dressing room off Broadway, and the spring was sticking up, you know, and I started to warn her. She says, don't worry, kid, I see it. And she talked to me about, you know, how much she liked what I did, and she said, and before she left, she said, if you ever need me, give me a call for anything. Well, I thought, whew, that was really something. So a few years later, I was going to do a special for CBS, and they were going to put it on if I got a big guest star. So the producer, Bob Banner, said to me, why don't you call Lucy? And I said, oh, gosh, I don't want to be pushy or anything. He said, really? You know, she'll sell the show for you. And she did say that. I said, but that was 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know, anyway, finally, I was talked into calling her. And I called her office, and the secretary put me right through. She said, "Hey, kid, what's going on?" You know, and I said, "How are you?" I said, "Oh, Lucy, I don't want to bother you. I know you're busy. But I was asked to ask you this, but please don't feel that you." And you know, I was just fumbling. She said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, I'm going to do a show for CBS." And so she said, "So when do you want me?" And she came and did the show with me.
Carol Burnett, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I loved it. I love being with you, Neil.
Thank you very much. Carol Burnett's new book out in paper, This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection. She joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. When we come back from a short break, we're going to be talking with Stephen Carter about Just War and Libya. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.